You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. Our phone number is 564-1290 or 866-564-1290. Go to RadioRealEstate.com, RadioRealEstate.com to listen to past programs and find real estate information. Call me after the program at 452-2428, 452-CHAT. Welcome back if you've just tuned in. You're about 30 minutes late. We start the program at 6 minutes after the hour, but thanks for joining us. During the break, Neil told me he checked Radio Real Estate down in Mexico to stay in touch with Santa Barbara Real Estate. Remember, too, streaming on the web at newspress.com. Two callers, one on the trivia question, another on a real estate in Mexico question. Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for calling Radio Real Estate.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Is that Mark and Neil?
Yes. What's your name?
John.
John, how you doing?
Good.
Morning,
how are
John.
You? I think that was a Tehachapi quake in 52, wasn't it, July?
That's it.
Uh-huh.
Congratulations.
Okay. John.
I remember it.
I think that was about it. I remember it well. I was in Claremont at the time, and I remember the shaking.
You know, a comment on that period in our history, my father, it was early in the morning, jumped up and was putting blankets at the base of the door so that radiation wouldn't come in from
the atomic blast. How's your project coming down there, Neil?
Absolutely wonderful.
Good.
It's just that we just finished our 30th week, and we're just starting our 31st week, and they're putting in the transparent walls or the windows for the first time. I saw the first one go in this morning. It's very
exciting. I heard you explaining it earlier.
Yeah. Yeah, when is the ETA on?
I tell everybody the 4th of July because it sounds good.
Oh.
It'll probably be September. That's what we're talking to Good Morning America about. The sad part is that John Cleese has said he's going to cut the ribbon if we could get it built by the summer, call it Faultless Towers.
Well, I saw your model in the shop there at your cleaners.
Oh, good.
And you had it years ago.
Yeah. It's been going on for a couple of years.
It was a different project. Took you a while to get it approved, as I remember.
Yes, it did, but it was all well worthwhile.
Neil was in puberty when he applied for the permit. Let's put it that way.
All right. Well, I wish you luck on it.
Now,
thank
John,
you
don't hang up.
Okay.
We'll get your address and phone number, and we'll mail you a gift certificate for Ablett's Dry Cleaners.
All right. Thanks very much.
Okay. We'll get your phone number and address, please, Jaron. And, okay, we have another caller. Good morning. Thanks for calling Radio Real Estate.
Yes, hello.
Hi. What's your name?
This is Monty.
Hi, Monty.
Hi. I got a couple questions about Mexican real estate. My brother and some friends of mine are buying properties down there, and they fly down with cash, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, and buy things. I wonder if everybody's buying things with cash down there up in the $1 million range, and if so, how do you get that kind of money down there, or what other ways are there that we do money?
Wow. what's your brother's name? Guido?
Never mind, huh?
God.
Hey, everybody's running cash down there, and that's the deal. Let's face it. That's what their economy runs on is American dollars.
Actually, I'm told that a third of the homes that sell in Santa Barbara sell for cash. But I've never heard of a cash transaction in Mexico, but that's not to say it's not happening. Most of the developments that Americans are buying are condominium projects, and the developer will carry the paper. But generally speaking, you can get a better deal with your bank back home. And from the papers that I read down there, the ads, they're saying American finance. In fact, there's a big billboard that says buying property in Mexico, get American financing.
So it's just a cashier's check by wire or something down to Mexico then?
No. Maybe you can help me on that.
You know what? I know nothing.
Yeah. I know that my brother and other people buy real estate in Mexico with cash, and that's how everybody wants to do it down there.
Oh, I'm sure it's the preferred manner, but most people don't have the cash.
I just knew that Neil was down in Mexico, and he had heard about this expo in Rosarito Beach, which sounds more mainstream, Monty, than the path that your brother is taking. The other thing, history story I had about Mexico is a buddy of mine, Frank, went down there to visit with some people who bought some land. They drove. It took all day. They went through Arizona, not through San Diego. And then for the last 4 hours, they were on a road that was just, you could only go 20 miles an hour. And then they came out onto the sand, and they were dotted with little cinder block homes where they had to put water on the roof. And there was a real prehistoric type of septic, not even a septic, just a hole in the ground. And you could fly there or you could drive there. And I actually want to get the owner of that to come on and talk about that so we can continue this conversation. But
thank you for that anyhow. I just wanted to check in on that. And it was a great show. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you, Monty.
Thank you.
God, I wonder... We're kind of running short of time. I did want to ask him what you could buy for $20,000, but that's pretty amazing. That's
condos
pretty amazing.
Started about 120 up for the developments along the bottom.
Yeah, what are you doing with? He said 20 or 30.
Well, you might be talking in the past and buying inland
or maybe land, just mm-hmm. a little piece of land or something. Or okay, so last thing with Neil Ablett, we gave away the gift certificate.
My question was easier.
Yeah. Now, I thought it was 1950. Didn't you say 53?
52.
It was July of 52. And what was the name of the quake? The
Tehachapi.
Tehachapi quake. So, finally, I was on your, you got a couple of websites, but I noticed there was Restoration, and you're somehow affiliated as a certified restoration dry cleaner. What exactly is that?
That's a national network that was developed by Wayne Wyduka up in Michigan. And we're working primarily with the insurance companies addressing disasters, a fire, smoke damage, mold, flooding. And we have the Tri-Counties as our area. And the idea is to get on-site immediately, do an inventory, provide for the client, immediate 24-hour turnaround for basic items, clothing, et cetera. It's a great service for the client, and it helps the insurance company. And it's only about 5 years old. I know that the franchise, CRD and franchise, was listed in Money Magazine as one of the top, new franchise opportunities.
One of those things that we should have bought stock in 5 years ago, like we should have bought that condo in Mexico.
Don't mention the Mexican condo.
I'm, sorry about that. So now this is something that clients and people out there would probably, they would call their insurance company, and the insurance company contacts you.
The insurance company can contact us direct, or a contractor, like a Service Master, ServPro, Quick Response. We're contents primarily, which is the linens, all the clothes.
Over the years, had guests, we've talked about flood, mold, fire, insurance people, and it just never occurred to me to even ask the question, you've got, all your clothes and drapes, like you say, you don't get into furniture. That would be guys like carpet cleaner guys, I guess.
Yeah, that's mainly just contents.
But it never, so you have a table of contents, I suppose.
We have a table of contents. Got,
sorry. Okay, so...
okay.
So that's... Now, so this... Now, why would someone go... You have a website here, Tri-Counties CRDN, which stands for Certified Restoration Dry Cleaners. TriCountiesCRDN.com. What is someone going to... Why would someone go there? Is there anything...
Tim Chappie, who heads up that division, just loves the computer. And actually, it connects nationally with all the other servers in the network. It's Certified Restoration Dry Cleaning Network. There's about 100 of them across the country.
Okay.
And they all tie in. It has to do with pricing, with service, ways of getting smoke odors and things out of garments that other people can't do.
So they're kind of selling themselves to insurance companies, contractors, and the people that are dealing with the messes.
That's correct.
Per se.
That's correct.
Well, okay. Son of a gun. One up, one down. I think we knocked this out of the ballpark with this program. Wonder if I had any other... should I give the answer to my historical trivia question?
I'm curious.
All right. Everyone hears about the $250,000 exclusion, and there's dozens of trivia questions about, when is it $500,000? When can you avoid not having living in the house for 2 years and occupying and still get some of it? And there's many permutations on that process. But the general rule of thumb is that they've changed the law. It used to be you had to buy up. You sold a house pre-1997. You sold your house, and you bought another house. You sold your house, you bought another house. You didn't pay any tax or gain, but it was deferred as long as you bought something equal or greater value. And there was some number, there's some rule on the that I can't remember off the top. But anyway, since 1997, you can get a clean sweep and get a gain at $250,000 or $500,000. And there are many circumstances, but one of the key is occupancy. You must occupy the home for 2 years. And they call it an aggregate. It's actually 24 months, so 24 out of 60 months. So, for example, if this is your, and it has to be your primary residence. So if it's your primary residence and you lived in it for 24 months or say 15 months, then you moved out, but then you moved back in for another 15 months, that's 30 months. So in aggregate, you've met the occupancy criteria. There's other criteria, but if you meet that, then you're good to go. Okay? 2 years. You got to live in there 2 years. However, if you have acquired the house in a tax-deferred exchange, that changes it. In other words, you bought it as your primary residence, fine. That's the rule. But if you acquired this house in a 1031 exchange, a tax-deferred exchange, and it was income property, and then you moved in and you converted it to your primary residence, you can't move out in 2 years and get your gain. You have to own it for 5 years in addition to occupying it for 2 years. So that's the monkey wrench. And it would only affect people who do exchanges and own rental property and then convert it to their primary residence. Did I do a good job? Do you understand that?
It certainly sounds complicated, but clear.
Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. Thank you, Neil Ablett, Ablett's Dry Cleaners. Come back for the fourth segment with our weekly multiple listing update. It's coming up on 9 minutes to the hour. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.